This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, January 18th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. As always, we have a lot to do today. We're going to start with some side stuff in the NFL. Of course, Ravens at Patriots, 3 o'clock Sunday. Giants at 49ers, 6:30 Sunday. We'll get to that in a little bit as well and over the next few days. But yesterday, the Indianapolis Colts made it official. They fired Jim Caldwell. He of the 2-14 record. Now, he was the coach for 3 years in 2009, taking over for Tony Dungy. He was 14-2, and of course, the Colts lost the Super Bowl. Then last year, they were 10-6. During the regular season, they lost their wild card game. Of course, this year, no Peyton Manning. Not a very good defense, frankly. They went 2-14. They did win, if you view it to be the Andrew Luck sweepstakes, they did win the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. And according to Jim Irsay and new president of the Colts, the owner, and Ryan Grigson, the new GM, it was a close call. They weren't really sure. They considered keeping him. And, you know, frankly, he was kind of the beneficiary of a Peyton Manning-led team, Super Bowl team that Tony Dungy handed to him. And he went 14-2, so he was fortunate there, but of course he was unfortunate this year. And as a result, they decide to, frankly, Irsay cleaned out the entire front office and the head coach. He's got a new group in, led by Ryan Grigson, who came over from the Eagles. He's now the GM. He fires Jim Caldwell. And now they'll have to go and find a coach. The theory seems to be they're going to look for an offensive-minded coach. Marty Morningwig's name has come up. He of the Eagles now, he's one of the candidates. But Indianapolis is probably more in a state of flux than any franchise in the NFL. Who are they going to take with the first pick? What is Peyton Manning's health? Who's going to be the coach? Can they revamp that defense to be good again because it was horrible this year? There's more, I think, question marks. You know, do you draft Luck if Manning's healthy? If he's not healthy, you absolutely draft Luck. But the real stickler will be if he is healthy, he wants to play 3 or 4 more years. Are you going to bring Andrew Luck in to sit behind Peyton Manning for fill in the blank? 1, 2, 3, 4 years? Because he's not going to want to sit for 4 years. You see a lot of guys come into the league now and have success. Joe Flacco, Matty Ice in Atlanta, even Sanchez had success, whatever you think of him with the Jets. So I don't know how far you could get Andrew Luck to believe he's going to sit behind Peyton Manning for more than a year, if that. And on Manning's side, you know, you've already heard Archie Manning, who orchestrated his son Eli not going to San Diego, winding up with the New York Giants. Worked out pretty well for Archie and Eli Manning. He's trying to orchestrate, saying, I don't think both of them would be happy in Indianapolis together. It's very interesting stuff. Of course, this is all in the context of a $28 million bonus payout that has to be paid to Peyton Manning in March. And, of course, we're, you know, 6 weeks away from that. So there's a lot of, I'm sure, jockeying going on behind the scenes. But the bottom line is the Colts have to make a decision. And if Andrew Luck is the greatest quarterback, the next big thing, the next surefire, whatever. And again, everybody says that except maybe for Phil Simms, who kind of criticized his arm strength a little, I think. And I'm a big Phil Simms fan. You know, that raises a question in my mind if that's what Simms says. In fact, what he said was, I don't see all the NFL throws. I don't see Andrew Luck making them. But really, the only voice that does not say this guy's a sure shot, can't miss, next Peyton Manning, you know, once in a generation type draft pick. So you have to think the Colts are going to take him, because even if Manning is good and healthy, and that's a big if, you know, that's why Manning was trying to get back in December, I think, to show the Colts he was healthy and he could play. And at the end of the day, he couldn't get back, even if he wanted to. So it's a very interesting dynamic going on. I think the Colts are going to draft Luck, but now they have to go out and find a coach. They have to decide what they're going to do with the first pick. And, you know, the other side of it is, well, if Manning's going to play 3 or 4 years, you can get a lot for that first draft pick, and maybe you can put 3 legit players on your team. Football isn't baseball. You draft a guy in the first round, you expect him to come in and help right away. So a lot going on in Indianapolis, even though they had a 2-14 season. A few other things. Jeff Fisher, officially introduced as the coach of the St. Louis Rams. I know there were a lot of reports that he preferred the Dolphins. He says they weren't true. It is interesting because the analysis of the experts, if you will, was that no matter what St. Louis offers Jeff Fisher, Miami's owner Ross has that open checkbook, could have paid him anything he wants. Now, Fisher signed a 5-year deal for $7 million a year. Jeff Fisher, a good NFL coach, but a great NFL coach? I don't think so. He signs 5 years, $7 million a year, $35 million total. 142 and 120 as an NFL coach, but hasn't won a Super Bowl, been to one. Has Sam Bradford, good young quarterback. Now, Bradford wasn't that good this year. Didn't have a lot of protection. But Fisher said, you know, it was more about the collective vision of ownership and how they view things. And you got to give him credit. He gives up Miami and maybe even more money to go to St. Louis. But St. Louis does have Bradford. I don't know if Miami really has a quarterback. I don't know if Matt Morris is the answer. But Jeff Fisher officially introduced as the coach of the St. Louis Rams. And he thinks they're not that far away. I think they're not going to be close this coming year. But again, you can turn teams around in the NFL. You know, a few draft picks, a free agent signing, pound the pavement and find a sleeper or two. It's certainly doable. Or maybe he thinks he can come in and change the culture. Look what Jim Harbaugh did in San Francisco. So Fisher decides to go with St. Louis. He's officially introduced. Obviously, the Dolphins still looking for a coach. The Raiders still looking for a coach. The Bucs still looking for a coach. And, of course, the Indianapolis Colts. All 4 of them still looking for a coach. Want to switch to baseball now. A lot of interesting things going on in baseball signings. The 2 most interesting to me in any event are 2 top flight pitchers who are going to go to arbitration with their respective teams. Now, Clayton Kershaw won the Cy Young this year for the Dodgers, and I think he deserved it. To me, the Cy Young is different from MVP. You don't have to play in meaningful games. To me, to be the MVP, you got to be a playoff team or really in the playoff hunt and do some incredible good. If you're the best player on the worst team, to me, that's irrelevant. You shouldn't get the MVP, although sometimes they vote people like that. Andre Dawson, for example. Ernie Banks, if you want to go back to the 50s. A-Rod when he was on Texas. I mean, these guys were great players on terrible teams. But to me, the Cy Young is for the best pitcher. So Kershaw got the Cy Young this year, and deservedly so in the National League. But very few people know that he only made $500,000 this past season. So when you talk about the incredibly overpaid baseball player, and oftentimes you're right, remember that Clayton Kershaw won the 2011 Cy Young Award, making $500,000 a year. So this year he's going to arbitration with the Dodgers, and he's asked for $10 million, and the Dodgers have offered $6.5 million. So you got to like arbitration if you're a good player. Because if he loses, he's going to get a $6 million raise off of last year. That's pretty good stuff. If he wins, he's going to get $10 million. You know how arbitration works. That means the teams couldn't come to an agreement. So if the Dodgers win, they pay him $6.5 million. If Kershaw wins, they pay him $10 million. Then that's not to say they cannot still can come to an agreement. But right now they're going to arbitration. Tim Lincecum, same deal. 2 Cy Youngs for Lincecum, of course. This is the highest potential arbitration ever. It's the highest money offered by the team. The Giants have offered $17 million for Lincecum for 1 year. He's asked for $21.5 million for 1 year. And, you know, that's another interesting, you know, $17 million sounds like a lot to me. I have a feeling Lincecum is going to get 17. Kershaw, more interesting. I mean, Cy Young, you're the best pitcher in the league. You should make $10 million, no? So we'll see. I think Kershaw should get the 10. I think Lincecum should get the 17. But we'll see how those shake out. Now, a bunch of people avoided arbitration and got some pretty good numbers. Cole Hamels, 14-9 last year now, an excellent pitcher, part of that Phillies rotation. You can make a case for a little while there last year he was the best pitcher in their rotation, but he's not the best pitcher in their rotation. You know their rotation with Doc Halliday and Cliff Lee. But he pitched well last year, 14-9. He signs a one-year deal for $15 million. So, again, if Cole Hamels gets 1 year for $15 million, you think Clayton Kershaw should get 1 year for 10 coming off winning the Cy Young? I do. And maybe someone will say, well, Lincecum is much better than Hamels. He should get 21.5, not 17. But Hamels signed for 1 year, $15 million with the Phillies over 14-9 year. Of course, the Phillies surprisingly knocked out of the playoffs by the now world champion Cardinals. The Dodgers signed Andre Ethier. He was, I think, hoping for a long-term contract like Matt Kemp, but he didn't get it, 1 year for just under $11 million. Jacoby Ellsbury, who was an MVP candidate for Boston, played great down the stretch. 1 year, $8 million. And again, it kind of depends on where you are in your career. Ellsbury certainly worth more than $8 million a year, but that's what he's going to get this coming year. Atlanta signs a couple of players. You know, they got Michael Bourne from the Astros. I think in August he played well for them. He's now their leadoff man. He led the majors with steals with 61. He signs a one-year, $6.8 million contract with Atlanta. And then Jair Jurgens, an excellent pitcher, ERA under 3 for the Braves. Hurt a few times last year, was an all-star. He signs 1 year, $5.5 million. Again, a young pitcher. So sometimes it's better to be better later in your career so you can get that big free agent money. But right now, Jurgens will get $5.5 million from the Braves for this coming season. Brewers closer Francisco Rodriguez, 1 year, $8 million from the Brewers. Giants re-sign Pablo Sandoval, 3 years, $17.1 million. And the Rangers, Texas Rangers, have until today at 5 to sign Yu Darvish. You know, the Japanese pitcher, they paid $51 million to negotiate with him. So you have to think they're going to come up with some kind of deal by 5 o'clock today. A couple of other things, some bad injuries, actually. Victor Martinez tore up his knee, might be out for the entire season. He was awesome for the Tigers last year. He might be done. Carl Crawford, left wrist surgery for the Boston Red Sox. He's going to miss, probably going to miss opening day. And again, I think Crawford's going to be a lot better. We talked about him during the year. He's a lot better than he played last year. His speed does not help him in left field at Fenway Park. That's almost wasted speed. But when you have a wrist injury, I think it's been very difficult over the years for guys to swing the bat. So Victor Martinez probably done for the season for the Tigers. Carl Crawford probably missed the beginning of the season for the Boston Red Sox. Just a minute or two on the Sunday games now. You know, the Ravens against the Patriots. I don't know if you heard Ed Reed's comments, but he certainly criticized his quarterback Joe Flacco. Probably wanted to light a fire under him. And I don't know if it backfired or not, but Terrell Suggs, also obviously a star defender for the Ravens, went on TV and had an interview where he really stuck up for Flacco. He never mentioned Ed Reed, but he did say, you know, my quarterback can beat anyone. I back my quarterback 100%. I mean, he was really demonstrative. I think Ed Reed was just talking the truth, that Flacco gets rattled sometimes, that, you know, he's got to make quick decisions under pressure, under blitzes, and doesn't sometimes. But I think Suggs did the right thing as well, coming to the defense of his quarterback, even though he didn't name Ed Reed by name. Again, you got some superstar Hall of Famers in that defensive locker room, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, maybe Suggs. They certainly don't want to go back and forth, but I think Suggs was just telling his quarterback, essentially, some of us got your back. And Ed Reed would probably say, I'm just trying to light a fire under the guy. I spoke the truth. That's going to be an interesting game. Of course, Sunday at 3, Ravens and Pats. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back after the break. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right?
Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
NHL Weekly, Monday nights at 6 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show, talking a couple minutes about the Ravens and Pats and the Giants and the 49ers. Now, the Patriots' defense played great against Denver. And, you know, on the one hand, you say, well, Denver, Tebow. But on the other hand, of course, he torched the Steelers the week before. I happen to think the Steelers just gambled a lot. You saw the one long pass where Polamalu tried to jump the route, and when the wide receiver went long instead of across the middle, he caught like a 60-yard pass. Obviously on first down, and I thought they had to throw it on first down to win. They didn't throw it at all during the regular game, and then the first play of overtime, they threw it on first down and won. But maybe they lulled Pittsburgh to sleep because they had, you saw the replays, they had 11 guys within 4 yards of the line of scrimmage. And it was a simple slant to Demaryius Thomas, then nobody could catch him, and that was the game. You know, that new overtime rule, that was the first time it was used. But I don't think you can gauge the Patriots' defense off of last week, but nor do I think they're as terrible as everyone's saying they are. I think they've improved the last few weeks. Again, I think Patrick Chung has been a key. He missed 8 games this season. Patrick Chung's a very good safety. I think he's the glue to their secondary. They got Will Fork in the middle. They've got some good players. So I think their defense is going to be better. But again, you can't gauge it against once they did against Denver, because Denver is such a weird, you know, give Belichick and his staff credit. They're brilliant game planners. And they brilliantly game planned on both sides of the board. Now, Brady's Brady. And you just can't match up with their, you know, Denver couldn't do anything with the two tight ends, including Hernandez running out of the backfield. They couldn't do anything. Welker, Branch had a few to the outside. They still don't even have a deep threat in there, yet they have the most dominating passing attack in football. But the Ravens, of course, defensively are much better. Denver was very good defensively the first, I'll say, 12 games of the year. But the last few games in the playoffs, they were not good at all. And I trace it back to Von Miller hurting his hand and playing with a cast. But we'll see. You know, the Ravens killed the Patriots in New England 2 years ago. That was the first year back. Brady got hurt, missed that season. The Patriots won 11 games. Coming off their 16-0 season, you know, it's funny. They go, oh, the Patriots won 11 games without Tom Brady. But had Brady been able to play that year, the question would have been, are they going to be 16-0 again or 15-1? That's how easy the Patriots' schedule was that year. But then the year after that, Brady's first year back, the Ravens killed them in 33-14 in Foxborough. Ray Rice ran the first or second play for like 76 yards. The game was over early. Last year, of course, the Jets beat the Patriots, and Brady said it was his worst loss as a pro. So this year, obviously, they were out to prove something last week, and they did. They went up and down on the I think they kind of took the pedal off the metal, frankly. They went up and down the field like Denver was playing with 8 guys on defense. So the Ravens pose a tougher defensive challenge. The Joe Flacco, I think a lot depends on Joe Flacco. Maybe that's why they're having the quarterback stuff back and forth. If you're Terrell Suggs, you want to keep his you want to keep your quarterback's confidence up. My guess is if you're Ed Reed, you're just speaking the truth, but maybe you're trying to light a fire under him. This is a fascinating game. I think the opening line was like 7.5. That's too high. Patriots are not blowing out the Ravens like they did the Denver Broncos. But that Sunday, 3 o'clock, Ravens at the Patriots up in Foxborough. I mean, again, a fascinating Final Four. Giants at 49ers. 49ers, I think, fortunate to win. People talk about the epic game. As you know from the other day, I disagree. 4 touchdowns in the final 4 minutes of an NFL playoff game. means to me it was pretty much the last guy who had the ball won. And I don't mean the New Orleans Saints getting the kickoff back with 3 seconds left or whatever that was. You know what I mean. You really got the feel that when Jimmy Graham scored with like a minute and 37 left, that it was too early. Now, again, if that's a tie game, maybe you run out at the one so you can kill the clock. But when you're losing, I think you have to run it in. I don't think you can gamble because you've got to get the lead. But, again, both teams went up and down each other. The 49ers supposedly with a great defense. Now, New Orleans has a great offense. Not as good on the road as at home, but they do have a great offense. They went up and down like it was nothing. There were 34 points scored in the fourth quarter of that game. That's a lot of points. Two touchdowns and a field goal for each team. Four touchdowns in the final 4-11. So let's be real. Was that a classic game or was it just flag football teams going up and down the field on each other? But Alex Smith was unbelievable. Vernon Davis, the tight end, remember him? He was the one who was scolded by Mike Singletary a few years ago, said, "I can't win with a guy like this." Remember that? Well, he's turned it around. Give Jim Harbaugh credit. He turned these guys into winners. Vernon Davis always has talent. Alex Smith always had talent. Alex Smith also had 7 offensive coordinators in 7 years. And I heard a couple of people say this past week that if he wasn't the number one pick in the draft, he would have been out of the league 3-4 years ago. He's in his 7th year now. This is really his first good season. But give Jim Harbaugh credit for that as well. So the Giants come in on a real roll. This is how football is nowadays. The Giants were an awful team the first two-thirds of the year. Not a bad team, an awful team. They started off well. I shouldn't say they were bad the whole year. They went to that terrible lose 4 out of 5 with that tough schedule. But again, to me, again, the Eagles were 4-8 and had a chance to make to win the division. They didn't. They finished 8-8. The Giants thankfully finished 9-7. But to me, there's just something wrong with pro football when you can be 7-9 last year, Seattle make the playoffs, get a home game. 8-8 this year, Denver make the playoffs, get a home game. And they both won at home, so everybody says, oh, look, they won a home game. But once upon a time, you had to be good pretty much from start to finish to make the playoffs and win a championship. Once upon a time in baseball, you had to win that pennant, 8 teams in the league. Only the 2 pennant winners made the playoffs. Now it's about getting hot at the right time in every sport, including baseball. Now, yes, not as many teams make it in baseball as in football or basketball or hockey. But, you know, you can have the 7th best record in baseball and win the World Series. That used to be impossible. But Ravens and Pats, 3 o'clock Sunday. We'll talk more about it in the next few days. Giants at 49ers, 6:30. You know, in New York, they're talking about that terrible playoff game 9 years ago where poor Trey Junkin was signed with the Giants just to be the long snapper for that game. He made that bad snap, and then the refs missed the pass interference downfield. Soibert was downfield, an offensive lineman for the Giants, but he had checked in as an eligible receiver. He got knocked on his butt. They'll show the replay 50 times this week. But to me, that's ancient history. The 49ers won that game. If the Giants had gotten the pass interference call, the game couldn't have ended on a defensive penalty. They would have had a chip shot field goal. But none of that happened, and they lost the game. The 49ers came back from like 24 down, I think it was. But to me, that's, you know, virtually irrelevant. Good talking point, but virtually irrelevant. Reality is the 49ers have a very good defense. New Orleans shredded them late. The Giants have an excellent passing game. Cruz is a star. Nix is a star. Manningham's a good receiver. The tight end Ballard has shown he can catch the ball. This is going to be a very interesting game, Giants at 49ers. 49ers, 2.5. I think the Giants are on a roll. I mean, they buried the Packers. That game wasn't even as close as 37-20. And if the refs don't give the Packers 2 calls, the Packers don't even score a touchdown. That one non-fumble call was definitely a fumble. That roughing the passer call on OCU Manure was definitely not roughing the passer. They would have had to have punted then. So you can make a case that game could have been, you know, 37-9, 37-12. That was a butt-kicking. So we'll talk about it later in the week. I'm kind of leading towards the Giants. Ravens and Patriots is a fascinating game. I will say 7.5 is too high. One other NFL note. Tim Tebow turned down an NFL analyst job this weekend. Pretty interesting. I didn't hear what network it was with, but good for him. I guess they wanted to bring him in studio, Fox, CBS, wherever, ESPN, I don't know. I think that's fine. He should go work on his footwork and his throwing ability. He's got a lot to work on. But John Elway said Tebow has earned the right to be the starting quarterback in training camp, which I thought, frankly, wasn't that big of a pump for Tebow. Well, of course he's the starting quarterback in camp. The question is, will he be the starting quarterback when the season opens? And the answer should be yes. I mean, what more can this guy do? And he's only going to work to get better. So we'll have to see how that shakes out, but that's fascinating stuff that happened in Denver. Hard to see Denver winning a Super Bowl with Tim Tebow. But, hey, you never know. A couple of other things. I just want to speak briefly. We didn't get into this the other day. Joe Paterno spoke out at length for the first time last week with a reporter from the Washington Post, Sally Jenkins. And, you know, personally, I don't think he should have said anything. I don't think what he did say helped him much. But he was there with his lawyer. The lawyer said for two reasons, to make sure he's okay with all of his mental faculties because he's being treated with chemo and he's taking medication, but also, of course, to make sure there were no questions that would get into potentially bad legal areas for Joe Paterno. Now, Joe Paterno has no criminal exposure, according to the Attorney General, but there were really three things I think you have to focus on. And I've written an article. It'll be up at sportstalknetwork.com later today. But it really just focuses on the three, in my mind anyway, main instances. What did Joe Paterno know? When did he know it? The first one, of course, is that 1998 incident where Sandusky, who was still an assistant at the time then, was inappropriate with a young boy in the shower. The mother complained to the police. Police actually set up a sting operation at the mother's home. Sandusky actually walked into her home and said, quote, "I was wrong. I wish I could get forgiveness from you," you being the mother. "I know I won't get it from you. I wish I were dead." Unbeknownst to Sandusky, there were two Penn State police officers in the next room, or detectives, I think, in the next room. So there was a 30-page Penn State police report filed, but no charges were ever brought in the case. According to Joe Paterno, he knew nothing about this. And again, the speculation has been wild. It's hard to believe that Joe Paterno, the king of State College, PA, the king of Penn State, didn't know about this. What I wrote essentially was, well, had it been one of his players, he would have known the next day. You think if one of his players was inappropriate with a young boy in the shower, he wouldn't know the next day? Of course he would. So that's where the credibility gap comes in. Do you believe Joe Paterno? He says he knew nothing about it. I don't know. You got to draw your own conclusions. The second thing, of course, was the one everybody knows about, the 2002 Mike McQuarrie sees Sandusky, assistant coach Mike McQuarrie sees Sandusky with a boy in the shower and thinks that Sandusky is having anal sex with the 10-year-old boy. I mean, it's too sick to even talk about. McQuarrie calls his father. He goes home. His father says, call Joe Paterno. He calls Joe Paterno. Tells him, not in graphic detail, but tells him what he saw. Joe Paterno talks to his superiors, which was the only legal obligation he had. So, again, from a legal point, he satisfied it. And Paterno said, essentially, he did what he thought he should do. But, you know, he said things like, well, here's what he said to Sally Jenkins, quote, "I never heard of rape and a man," close quote. And he went on to Jenkins, so I just did what I thought was best. I talked to the people that I thought would be, if there was a problem, that would be following up on it. And, you know, there's even a problem here to me. Did he do what he had to do legally? Absolutely. Absolutely. But when he says he didn't know about, quote, raping the man, close quote, well, you know, I did a little research. It's in the article. These Catholic Church abuse cases with the priests and the altar boys as one group started getting national attention in the mid-80s. Certainly by the mid-90s, it was huge local and national news. Certainly by 2002, it's hard to believe you didn't hear of this or didn't know about it. Again, you'd have to believe that Joe Paterno essentially knew nothing about this. In fact, USA Today wrote a great article where they talked about how many thousands of people had made claims from 1950 to 2002. I think it was like 11,000 people, that even in the Altoona Johnstown Catholic Archdiocese, which includes State College, there had been complaints against, incredible complaints, the article says, against 24 priests in that area. So again, can you believe that Joe Paterno knew nothing about raping the man? And I guess the biggest problem at the end is, after he did what he did, Paterno told his superiors, you know, you'd have to believe that he either didn't quite understand what McQuarrie was telling him, but you also have to believe a lot of other things, like, why didn't he follow up? Why didn't he ask the boy's name? Why didn't he ask somebody how that boy was doing? Why didn't he go to his superiors and say, what happened? You know, it's almost like he wanted to stick his head in the sand. And frankly, that's not a good thing. The third and final thing, Sandusky, 5 years later, after he was barred from bringing kids to Penn State as a result of the 2002 McQuarrie thing, he brought a little boy, Sandusky brought a little boy to a Penn State practice in 2007. Unfortunately, Paterno was never asked about that, but according to reports, it was a closed practice, so that means there's very few people there. So in order to give Joe Paterno a pass, you have to believe he knew nothing about 98, he did what he had to do in 2002, and nobody's asked him about 2007. You have to assume he'd say, oh, I didn't even see Sandusky there, or I didn't see a little boy there. And that's a lot to ask. Again, you got to draw your own conclusions on that, but this is far from over out there in State College, Pennsylvania. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
With high quality, with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is of vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transfer warranty, the same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion, and now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at supplylineelectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card.
Call
877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We have a listener email from Kevin Waters in Detroit. Steve, I love hearing baseball talk in January. Baseball can't start soon enough for me. Hot stove rules. Even though I am a Blue Jays fan living in Detroit, I must say how sad I am for Tiger fans losing Victor Martinez for the season. With an over 300 average and 100-plus RBIs, it's a big loss for the team. What do you think the chances are the Tigers making a serious run of after Prince Fielder? I think it's a good option for them. I mean, obviously, Ilitch has the money. Dombrowski's a good GM. I think they should take a run at him. Obviously, they weren't going to do that before this happened, though. You know, certainly if you're in Prince Fielder's camp, if nothing else, you're happy because you might have another big-money guy in the mix. I certainly think he could hit there. He could protect Cabrera. I mean, that would be a nice lineup. And then when Martinez got back, obviously, it wouldn't be till the next year. Martinez did... It's official that he tore his ACL now and he's out for the season. Again, a gigantic blow to the Tigers. I think they can make a run. Do I think they'll get him? I don't know. Because, you know, he's looking for 9-10 years. He's 4 years younger than Albert Pujols. He's probably looking for money in the neighborhood. I don't think he'll get that money. But, you know, that's a good starting point for him to back off of. He'll still get an incredible contract. And over the 10-year period, he might be a better signing. Again, maybe someone will try and get him for 8 or 9 years, but he could wind up being a better signing than Albert Pujols from this day forward. So I think they should make a run. I think they have a chance to get him. It's the old, how much money will we spend? And then when Martinez comes back, I don't know, will he be, you know, DH? Will he play 30 games at first when Fielder's the DH? Will he catch? You know, Victor Martinez kind of got away from catching, although he can catch. But we'll have to wait and see what happens. That is a gigantic blow to the Tigers. Do I think they can win without him? Well, not unless they really get someone good. Might not have to be Prince Fielder good, but good to replace Martinez in the lineup. Otherwise, you know, people are going to be pitching around Miguel Cabrera. We talked all year about him. I think he's the best hitter in baseball. And boy, did he get torrid those last 6 weeks to win the batting title. I mean, to raise your average 20 points the last 6 weeks at the end of a Major League Baseball season, that's unbelievable. But that's what Cabrera did. So we'll keep an eye on what the Tigers do, but I think they're going to have to move quickly. They got to plug that hole. That's a big hole. And just one other thing, the Mets signed Mike Pelfrey, who was a very good pitcher for them last year, 1 year, $5.7 million. They also had a couple of other minor signings, Andres Torres, $2.7 million, right-hander Manny Acosta, $875,000, and righty Ramon Ramirez, $2.7 million. Obviously, the Mets are trying to cut payroll. They still have some issues. They lost a ton of money. They still have the Madoff case. There's still a lot going on with the Mets. They're supposedly closing deals now to sell part of their team. You know, those little $20 million chunks they were talking about. I think they're trying to sell five of them to get $100 million of cash flow. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I think Kevin's right. There's a lot going on. Hot stove baseball. I love baseball, too. Certainly when I talk about football, we're going to do the NBA and the NHL now as well. But, yeah, baseball is that one-off season where, my goodness, it seems like something's happening every day. A few quick scores from the Australian Open. Marty Fish was the first upset seeded person. He was seeded eighth in the men's. Alejandro Faya beat him in straight sets. Rafi Nadal won his second round match in straight sets over Tommy Haas. And Roger Federer actually won by default because Andreas Beck, his opponent, had a back injury and withdrew. Serena Williams also won her match in the first round in the Australian Open. Going to move to the NBA now. Bunch of games yesterday, a few we want to focus on. San Antonio goes down to Miami. Now, San Antonio, obviously not the same team without Ginobili. But the beauty, it seems to me, of Miami, and San Antonio can win a little without Ginobili. I don't think they can beat top teams. But Miami can and does win without Dwayne Wade. In fact, they're 5-4 with Wade and 4-0 without him. I'm sure that's an early season four-game anomaly. But yesterday in Miami, the Heat buried the Spurs. Heat 120, Spurs 98. LeBron, 33 points, 5 rebounds, 10 assists. Chris Bosh, 30 points, 14 for 22 from the field, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Chalmers, who's becoming a key part of their team, a point guard, 13 points, 4 assists. And Mike Miller off the bench, first game of the year, 6 for 6 from 3. All he took was 3-pointers, 18 points, 4 rebounds. So the return of Mike Miller, who was in and out of the lineup, he also had a wrist injury last year. That's a big plus for Miami, and I think was the key reason why this was a blowout as opposed to a game. Miami 120, Spurs 98. Tony Parker 18 points, but only 3 assists. Tim Duncan had a poor game, only played 26 minutes, 8 points, 7 rebounds. You know, they need more scoring from him if Ginobili's not playing, which he's not. Green off the bench for 20 for San Antonio. Neal with 12 off the bench. But a poor performance. San Antonio drops to 9-5. Miami goes to 9-4. Miami 120. San Antonio 98. Another interesting game. Now the Jazz, I really did not think they were going to be good this year. New coach Ty Corbin doing a good job. The Clippers go to Utah. The Clippers have a lot of trouble playing with Utah, playing in Utah, and, of course, they don't have Chris Paul. So they're obviously not the team they're going to be without Chris Paul. Utah buries the Clippers 108-79 in Utah. Really, frankly, not much of a game. Down 11 at the half, and it only got worse from there for the Clippers. Paul Millsap, a very good player. Again, I think the most underrated guy in the league, 20.6 rebounds. Al Jefferson, a beast off the boards, 10 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, good passing big man. Miles off the bench, 19 points. I mean, they have a nice team, Utah. I didn't think they'd be this good, but they did go to 9-4, and again, Corbin's doing a real good job. Of course, it's good to get the Clippers when they don't have Paul. Blake Griffin, only 10 points on 5-for-12 shooting, no foul shot attempts, which is a little bizarre. Did get 11 rebounds and 3 assists. The high scorer for the Clippers was Caron Butler with 14. That tells you something. Foy with 11. Chauncey Billups with 10, but Billups only shoots 3-for-12 from the field. Foy only shoots 4-for-14 from the field. So an off night for the Clippers. But again, the key to the Clippers to me is Chris Paul. Otherwise, they're a nice team with a human highlight show who can beat you once in a while. With Paul, they're a legit playoff team, and they can do some damage in the playoffs. Jazz 108. Clippers 79. Few other games. Golden State beats the Cavaliers 105-95. David Lee carving out a good career out there in Golden State. I thought the Knicks should have kept him. He had 29 for, you know, his new coach Mark Jackson. The Nuggets beat the Bucks 105-95. Brewer leads the way for the Nuggets with 22. Jennings has 30 for the Bucks. The Magic beat the Bobcats. Bobcats are terrible. You got to wonder what Michael Jordan is thinking down there. Magic 96, Bobcats 89, Dwight Howard 25 points, 17 rebounds. He's a beast. The Bulls bury the Suns. Going to be a bad year for the Suns. They're 4-9. The Bulls are 13-3. Bulls 118, Suns 97, and they did it without the MVP, Derrick Rose. Boozer with 31 for the Bulls. Nash with 25 and 9 assists for the Suns, but the Suns are going nowhere. The Rockets get to 500, 7-7. They beat the lowly Pistons, who are 3-11. Rockets 97, Pistons 80. Samuel D'Alembert, a good signing for the Rockets, I thought. 14 points, 12 rebounds, led his team in both categories. And Tayshaun Prince had 20 for the Pistons. Rockets 97, Pistons 80. I just want to do a quick thing on a couple of NCAA college basketball games. Number 2, Kentucky. They've now won 46 games in a row at home. John Calipari has never lost at home as the coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. Kentucky buries Arkansas 86-63. This Anthony Davis is just a monster player. 27 points, 14 rebounds. The 27 points is career high. He also now has 84 blocks, which is already the all-time Kentucky record in a season. Kentucky's 18-1. They've played 19 games, and Davis has already set the Kentucky blocks mark. That's pretty impressive. Obviously, he's going to get a lot more. Kentucky 18-1, now 46 in a row at home. Number 9 Michigan beats number 19 Michigan beats number 9 Michigan State 60-59. You know, a very good game, one of those down to the wire back and forth games. But both of these teams are good, and both of them will make some noise, I think, come playoff time. Derek Nix led the way for Michigan State with 13, Keith Appling 10. High scorer for the Wolverines, Trey Burke, a good shooter, 8-for-11, 3-for-6 from three. He had 20. Hardaway, to me, Tim Hardaway Jr., actually had an off game, 3-for-9, 0-for-4 from three, only 10 points. But Michigan does get the win. At home against number 9 Michigan State, Michigan 60, Michigan State 59. And just one other game to mention, number 12 Georgetown at DePaul in the Big East game, Georgetown 83, DePaul 75. Jason Clark with a career high 31 points, 11-for-14 from the field, including 5-for-7 from 3. A very good player, Jason Clark. You know, Georgetown has a nice team. They're under the radar. But they're ranked 12th in the country now. They'll soon be a top 10 team. Georgetown 83, DePaul 75. Quickly, the rankings in college. We didn't go over them. We'll just do the AP top 5. Syracuse, of course, 20-0 now. They're ranked first in the country. Kentucky with the one loss, 18-1. Baylor, ranked third in the country, Duke fourth, Missouri fifth, Ohio State has dropped to sixth with three losses, Kansas seventh, North Carolina eighth, Michigan State was ninth. They might be dropping now after losing to Michigan, although it was a close game at Michigan. They probably will drop out of the top 10, however. I quickly want to do some NHL. A lot of games yesterday. A number of interesting NHL games. Ottawa goes into Toronto, two very good teams. Ottawa 26-16-6, Toronto 22-18 with five overtime losses. Ottawa beats Toronto in Toronto, Ottawa 3, Toronto 2. The Devils back playing well again, beat the Winnipeg Jets in New Jersey. The Devils 5, Winnipeg 1. Ilya Kovalchuk scores two goals, his 18th and 19th of the season. He's back on track. Eliash gets his 17th for the Devils. Peter Sikora gets his 11th. And David Clarkson gets his 16th. The Devils getting it from a lot of places yesterday. Brodeur with a good game in net. Only gave up a goal to DePius Enstrom in the third period. Devils 5, Winnipeg 1. The Flyers with Brizgalov in net now. Obviously, they're having some problems there. I think Brizgalov can be the guy, but he's up and down. That's a problem for Philly. But now back in net, he beats Minnesota in Philadelphia. Philadelphia 5, Minnesota 1. Scott Hartnell scores his 20th for Philadelphia. Sean Couturier scores his 10th for Philadelphia. Darryl Poe scores his 4th for Minnesota, the only goal of the game for the Wild. Philly 5, Minnesota 1. The Rangers with the King. Henrik Lundqvist shut out the Nashville Predators. Nashville's been playing very well lately, but yesterday the Rangers in the Garden get a goal in each period. They beat the Nashville Predators. Rangers 3, Nashville 0. Dan Girardi gets his 4th in the first period. John Mitchell gets his 4th in the second period. Ryan Callahan gets his 15th in the third period. Rangers 3, Nashville nothing. Now, they're already mocking James Dolan on Sports Talk Radio in New York. He came out yesterday and said the Rangers are very close to winning the Stanley Cup or being a Stanley Cup-winning team. And, you know, John Tortorella can't really listen to that. They're halfway through the season. They are playing great. They do have the most points. But the notion that you're here now and will win the Stanley Cup later is, of course, an absurd notion because so many things can happen. But it's interesting because you think Dolan, who a lot of people think ran the Knicks and the Rangers and the Garden into the ground, and they were terrible for an awful long time. Knicks improved, Rangers improved now. But the notion that you can talk Stanley Cup in January, but give the Rangers credit and give Lundqvist credit and give Tortorella credit. They're getting Lundqvist some rest, and that's what he needs. They do have the best record in hockey, and that means something. Doesn't mean you're going to win the Stanley Cup, but it does mean something. Rangers 3, Nashville nothing. The Los Angeles Kings go up to Vancouver and beat the Canucks 3-2 in a shootout. Daniel Sedin gets his 20th during regulation, tied at 2, obviously, after regulation. Both teams get 1 point. And then the Kings get the second point because Alexander Burrow scores for the Canucks, but Justin Williams and Mike Richards in the shootout score for the Kings to give them a final Kings 3, Vancouver 2. And one other game to mention, the Red Wings hot again. The Red Wings going down to Dallas and beat the Stars 3-2. Also, in a shootout, Thomas Holmstrom and Yuri Hudler score for the Wings during the game. Hudler is 13th. Brendan Morrow and Louis Erickson score for the Stars. Erickson is 17th. In the shootout, it was Yuri Hudler again, the only guy to score. So Detroit gets the 2 points, 3-2 over Dallas. And, of course, as we always mention, Dallas does get 1 point as a result of the regulation tie. Want to go to TV now for tonight. There's an ESPN NBA doubleheader, 8 o'clock Eastern. The Trailblazers go into Atlanta to play the Hawks. I like the Trailblazers a lot. Watch them play. They've got some talented guys. The Mavericks go out to Los Angeles to play the Clippers. That should be an interesting game as well. That's on ESPN following the first 8 o'clock Eastern, then scheduled for 10:30 Mavericks at Clippers. On MSG, if you get MSG, Phoenix at the Garden to play the Knicks, 7:30 Eastern. And if you get the YES Network, the Yankee Network, which I'm told is also national, Golden State in New Jersey to play the Nets, that's 7:30 Eastern as well. A number of college basketball games tonight on TV. Cincinnati at UConn, 7 o'clock Eastern. That's on ESPN2. Seton Hall at Villanova, down year for Villanova, up year for Seton Hall. If you get a chance to see Seton Hall, Willard, a fine young coach, if you have a chance to see them play, you should. That's at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPNU. Tennessee at Georgia, that's on MSG+, if you get MSG. Texas at Kansas State, that's a 9 o'clock Eastern start. Tennessee at Georgia, 8 o'clock Eastern start on MSG+. Texas at Kansas State, 9 o'clock Eastern start on ESPN2. And finally, Oklahoma State at Iowa State, that's a 9 o'clock Eastern start on ESPNU. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.